Let me just make it brief this morning. If you would, go to Matthew 6. I know your Bibles will fall open in Matthew 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And here it says in verse 9, our favorite verse. I'm going to just kind of go straight to it here. So pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy, wonderful be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to ask you this morning then, how is his will done? How is his will done? How does his will get done? Because see, when we begin to answer that question within ourselves, we know what to grab a hold of. We know what to begin to focus on. Because see, the more we understand about how his will gets done, now we can begin to operate in cooperation with him. And that's what he's absolutely ultimately looking for, is just our agreement and our consent. Hallelujah. So, let's see. I got so many different pieces that are trying to, you know, one of the things that Pastor has been speaking about is last Sunday, he was speaking about knowing the end. Knowing the end. In essence, when he was talking about the book of Revelation, he was talking about how that was an exposition of all God had already planned, what his will was being exemplified. His will being made a living example. When we see that Revelation is a living example of his will, and that John actually got to live in that will. It wasn't just a vision that he received. It was a life that he stepped into as he began to interact with the word that had come forth. As he began to interact with the angels, his emotions were touched. His physical body was touched. He became hungry in that moment. He ate the scroll in those moments. In other words, there was an interaction between him. It wasn't just a vision. It was a complete invasion. That's what we're looking for from God, is a complete invasion. Because see, if he did it for John, he's going to do it for you. If he did it for John, he can do it for me. So he can do it for me. And it doesn't matter. I'm not limited. I guess I only get one miracle, huh? I get more miracles than I ever need. I get more miracles than I ever need. Why? Because you know what she didn't tell you? Is that she's been willing and obedient. What she didn't tell you is that she spent her life here giving out of her own substance to feed the homeless and to secure people's lives and secure people's families. She didn't tell you those things because she's not trying but the deal is that that's the nature and the character of her heart. So that's part of what I want you to see. So let's go with me to this Isaiah 1 and 19. Jesus, I love it when Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. 1 and 19, because we want to be short. And it simply says this: if you will consent and obey. Or if in the King James it says, if you're willing and obedient, then you will eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Just say that. Willing and obedient. Because that's the thing that he's wanting to just capture. Because, see, the word of the Lord can come to you, but if you're not willing and obedient, you're not going to eat the fruit. So when you're willing and obedient, because there's been situations where I was willing and I wasn't obedient. There's been some situations where I was not willing and I was not obedient. I'm just being real, okay? John, you got to be real. There are some days when the Lord told me to do something and I was like, But you know what? He's wanting, he's looking. His heart is for those who are willing and obedient. Why? Because now he can interact. There's a word here. The word that says, you know, when you consent and obey, that word is 8085 in the Hebrew. And it's the word shama. But shama conveys something. Shama is used about 1,159 times in the Old Testament. Most of the time it conveys hearing. Sometimes it's for obedience, sometimes it's for consent. But it's always there, and it's being used because he wants to tell us something about hearing itself. Because the Eastern philosophy of hearing is very different than our Western idea. The Eastern philosophy of hearing, it always implied obedience with it. Us Westerners, we think hearing is something that happens, and then basically something tickles your eardrum, and then something happens in your brain, and then that's it. But with the Eastern philosophy, it always conveys action. Action happens with it. And so I wanted to just give a little demonstration about the differences of how hearing is different in that realm. And so with that, I just want to tell Tim, just please stand up. Tim, stand up, please. Tim, stand up, please. See, now when did you believe that he actually heard?
The first time.
Well, it may be, but in our Western thought, that's when he heard, was the first time. In an Eastern thought, he heard when he actually acted on it. What he heard, then he acted on. Now that is hearing. In the way that it was understood for those who were in the Bible. Thank you, Tim. You were awesome, and I appreciate that. Yes, because see, you know, if my teenagers were here, that would have been kind of normal. But I might not have ever got them to stand up because you'd say something. Or when I was training my doggie, you know, I would tell him come, and he would look at me. He obviously heard it because his ears perked up. And then he would go run off somewhere else in the park. I was like, I don't want to do that right now. You might take me home. So I had to train him to recognize that, hey, when you come to me, number one, there's a treat involved a lot of times. But number two, there'll always be petting involved. And number three, I'm not always going to take you home just because I asked you to come. Because I would just purposefully just bring him to the point and train him over and over until he got to realize I can come and it doesn't mean he's going to take me home. And so now he doesn't avoid me when we're in the park. Glory to God. We're making steps. You know, one of the things I've really found out is that dog training is really for the owners. The training process is mostly training the owners. Just say, I'm going to leave that out there for you. Just think about that when you go home. Because if something's happening with your doggy that you don't want happening, where you need to look? Glory to God. Okay, willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Now, was Tim willing and obedient those first two times? No, sorry, Tim. But he was willing and obedient the third time. I didn't pet him yet. Okay. Michelle, that was great. See, what you do with the thing that you hear. We hear wonderful miracles and wonderful revelations in here and wonderful testimonies. But what are you going to do with it? What do you do with it? Do you let it change your hope? Do you let it change your life? It's wonderful to be able to come to church and be impressed. But if we're not changed, if we're not totally just, you know, God turning us inside out, we're missing the point. It's not good enough to just be amazed. We need to be transformed. We need to allow God's heart to transform us. And if we're walking with Him in obedience, that it is a transformation process. And when He can see, one of the things that is that He can, when He's ministering to you, when He's asking you to do something, He already knows the end from the beginning. He's just waiting to drop you into the truth of that. When you drop into the truth of that, now you can begin to cooperate with Him. When you begin to understand what it is His goal is. Can you imagine for Abraham, when it says that the gospel in Galatians 3 and 8, it says that the gospel was preached to Abraham by the Scripture. The Scripture preached to him, and it saw the coming of the Gentiles. It saw all these things happening, but he needed to get Abraham's cooperation. Hallelujah. Just think about it this way. Abraham heard the voice of God. He heard the voice of God and he started walking towards Moriah, Mount Moriah. That's where he was to sacrifice Isaac. And he starts walking towards that and he realizes he gets to Mount Moriah and they look around and they recognize they're at the spot and Isaac looks around and says, "Where's the sacrifice?" That must have been the moment for him, you know. But see, Abraham responds that God will provide. Now, he already knew what the Lord had told him to do, but they were there at the moment. And so he binds him, he prepares the wood, and he binds him to the wood, and he binds him and he places him on there, and he's about to plunge the knife, and he hears yet another angel show up and says, "Hold it, I have a sacrifice for you." And he sees the ram caught in the bush. But what if he hadn't listened to the second voice of God? What if he hadn't heard the second voice of God? The very thing that the Lord was trying to establish that would actually become the fruit and the seed for, because it was a fruit for this moment, but a seed for the next moment, because it was a seed for the coming of Christ. But see, that whole fruit and seed would not have ever happened if he hadn't heard the voice of God the second time and been obedient. He could have shaken that thing up. "No, I got to do this." And plunged that knife into Isaac. And guess what? The whole potential covenant is gone. One man's willingness and obedience. How difficult? I cannot imagine. There were days that I was a little upset with my children. There was an hour or two here and there that I was upset with my children. They know my testimony. There was a moment, okay? There was a moment or two where I was upset with my children, but I cannot imagine plunging a knife into them. I just can't. I'm like, nope, that's a solid no, Lord. I'm mad today, but let's not wipe them out, okay? So, in other words, there was something in his heart. And here's an interesting point. In Matthew 8:1, it talks about the centurion. And the Lord winds this up with basically saying, I'm not seen such great a faith in all of Israel. Yeah. Have you ever seen faith? It was like when Cody walked in, it was like, "Man, I see you've been growing. So you got some great extra faith on today." You know, when you meet somebody, you encounter them, it's like, "Ah, man, you look like you're down on faith. Want some prayer? Let me fill you up." Have you ever seen faith? How do you see faith? You see faith by what is done, by what is exemplified. You see faith by what comes out when the pressure's on. You see faith by what happens when the Lord gives an instruction and then do they follow it through. That's why the willing and obedient is so wonderful. Sometimes we have to be willing when we don't understand everything. A friend of mine was very prophetic, but he went to he was having, you know, sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down, so he was on a little bit of a down moment. And so he went to out of town and he went into this restaurant, and the waitress walks up to him. And as soon as the waitress walks up to him, he said, the Lord says, I have a word for her. And he was like, I don't want to. I'm here because I'm mad. And then the Lord wouldn't leave him alone. And so he's like, okay. And he finally come to the conclusion that, you know, either the Lord's going to continue talking to me my whole meal and I'm not ever going to get past this, or I'm going to do what he actually asked me to do. And so he just looks up at the waitress when she's coming in. He said, what is it? The scripture about the hammer will break the rock in pieces. And it was a word specifically for her. It's out of Jeremiah. And so when he spoke this to her, she just broke down and started weeping. And apparently her brother was a preacher, and they called him the hammer. And she was called the rock, as she always resisted. And so when he gave her that specific word, then the rest of it he had to follow, and she got saved that night. And gave testimony, called her brother and gave testimony about it and the whole thing. But see, God's into healing more than just physical bodies. He wanted to heal a whole life and a whole eternity in that moment. It took somebody who was going to be willing and obedient, and if not willing, at least obedient. It's up to us to respond to the weird word we hear. Because he's calling it out of the end result. He's calling it out of the future, and he's bringing it into your now. He's calling whatever it was that he has stored up for you, and he's releasing it into today. And sometimes we can go outside of our time and drag something back simply because we stand in faith for it, because we stand in agreement for it. But he'll bring it into your today. When he shares an instruction, he already knows what the end is. But to hear means to engage the transformation. It's more than just what happens on our eardrums. Hearing is more than what happens in our mind. It's what happens in our life. That's the wholeness, the sum. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So why do we need to know the end? Because knowing the end gives you strength in the middle. Because some days you need some strength in the middle.